Well, I'm going to get into some scripture tonight. Go ahead and turn to Luke 18:8. And while you're turning there, I want to explain something to you. When we come to church, you know, we come to church and we have a good time. Hey, you know what? It's air conditioning. It's like free air conditioning here at The Rock. You know, we have some cool video games. You know, we have, we just had acrobats like flying in the air. I mean, church is fun and exciting. But I don't want you to ever forget the reason that you come to church is not just to fill up an hour and a half, but God is building up your faith for something, for life. For you to get through the ninth grade, hallelujah, okay? For you to get through to college, for you to get through that friendship, for you to grow up and enjoy life. We come into the house of God to get built up. It's not just something that we do. It's not just something that we say, okay, God, I've checked in. But there's a reason that we're coming in. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about faith. You know, if you guys went to summer camp, how many people went to summer camp, all right? Right? If you didn't, it's all right. You won't be left out. But I can't get off this faith. God is not letting me. In fact, I didn't even want to preach these scriptures tonight, but God said, Michelle, you better preach it. I said, okay. All right? But because God has something for you. And in Luke 18:8, it says this. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? It's an interesting scripture. Not a fun scripture, maybe one that you've never even read before. Jesus is talking about, he's telling a parable about a widow who wouldn't leave a king alone to grant her something. She kept on being persistent to the point of being a pest. She wouldn't leave the king alone. Finally, he said, to get you out of my face, to get you out of my hair, I'm going to grant you this thing. And then Jesus went and said, you know what? Your father loves you so much. It's the opposite of the king. He would give you anything that you ask for. He would give it to you. And then he finishes off the story saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Why would Jesus say that? Why would he say that? Would he say that because maybe we give up on things too quickly? Would he say that because maybe if we're tired, we don't feel like coming to church that night? Would he say that because gas prices have risen up about 50 cents or a dollar, and so it's impossible for me to get to church? I'm just preaching. I'm sorry if I'm digging into somebody. And you say, well, Pastor Michelle, no, seriously, you know, it's hard to find gas money. And I understand that, and I feel you. So let's believe God that he can fill a gas tank. When the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith on earth? Do we not come to church because somebody's offended us? Well, that person hurt my feelings, or that person looked at me weird, or Pastor Michelle, she's too mean when she preaches, so I can't go and sit. You know, I don't know what it is, but all of us have obstacles to get over to go further with God. All of us have that. And I'm asking you tonight, do you have faith to overcome that? Because one day Jesus Christ is coming back. You said, wow, I picked an interesting day to go to church. They sing about the Holy Spirit, and they're talking about Jesus Christ coming back. This is just the Bible. This is just the truth. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not trying to scare you, but one day Jesus Christ will come back. And when he comes back, will he find faith on earth? See, my job as a pastor is not just to fill up a room full of kids, but it's to give you faith. It's to show you faith. It's to teach you faith. Because you're going to have to stand on your own two feet with God every day of your life. And the only thing that's going to get you through that is faith. These aren't fairy tales. This is nothing. Nothing like stories you read in English. This is nothing like Greek mythology. This is the written word of God. And it's what's going to change your life. And that's why we open it up every single week. So it says in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? And I believe he will. Because I know I refuse to live a life of circumstance, a life of just whatever, but I'm going to dig in faith, and I know there's people in here who will also. I know that there's people in here who stand on the word of God. I know that there's people in here who hold on to it and grip onto it. You see, faith, when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about keep the faith. Keep the faith, man. Just keeping my faith, yo. You know, I'm just keeping my faith, my Christian walk. No, I'm not just talking about a religious standpoint. I'm talking about an action. You see, faith is a verb. It's something that you do. You know, I said it like this before, and I'll say it like this again. When I'm going through something, sometimes I have to faith it. I have to faith it. You know, maybe there's someone who's sick. I've got to faith it with them. I'm going to go into faith with them and believe that they're going to get healed. See, it's a verb. It's something that you do, you know, and it says this in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith is something that you don't see. If I were to say, and this may be review for some of you guys, because I kind of taught some of this before, but it's like, gosh, I'm really believing God for a pulpit. A nice, clear pulpit would be nice. I just am believing God for that. I'm having faith for it. I can't have faith for something that I already have. I have to have faith for something that I don't have. And that's where you can either be crazy or you could be in faith. Okay, you can be loco saying, no, I'm just believing God for that house. I'm just believing God for that salvation. I'm just believing God for that healing. Okay, and you're walking in faith and people could look at you like you're cuckoo, but you're not. You're just faithing it because it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We get faith by sitting in church, by reading our word, by getting into the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I'm just laying a foundation for you about faith, okay? Now we're going to jump in to the message and you say, whoa, this is going to get deep. But it's going to be fast. Don't worry. We're all on a faith journey. One of your senior pastors, Pastor Deborah Cobray, says this. From the amen I've prayed to the hallelujah, I've received it, we're walking in faith. I'm going to say that again because you might not have gotten it. From the amen when I've prayed to the hallelujah when I received it, we're walking in faith. You're going to pray something and you're not going to be able to receive it right away. You got to walk in faith. I know we've all had prayers that have not been answered. We're walking in faith. We're going on the journey. It's a faith walk. We're going through it. Go ahead and turn to Mark 5, and this is where we're staying all night tonight, because I'm going to read you a story that's changed my life, and you will never forget it. You will never forget it. This message tonight is going to strengthen your prayers, and you are going to see your prayers answered. How many people want their prayers answered in here? Everybody in this room want our prayers answered that we ask God. Well, here we go. You ready? Mark 5. Verse number 21. Now Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, and a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, or the church, came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So here is a leader in the church, a ruler in the church, comes to Jesus, throws himself at Jesus, cries to Jesus, saying, please, please, please come and heal my daughter. She is dying. I mean, that's an emergency. That's a big deal. That's something that's noticeable. And Jesus does it. He said, absolutely. Because I want you to know, Jesus is willing to heal people, and Jesus is ready to heal people. He wants to do that. So then it says, now it goes on to verse number 25. They're in the middle of walking to his house. And then it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I may be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So let's get the picture again. We have hundreds of people surrounding Jesus. Jesus is on an emergency prayer call where Jairus has fallen at his feet and has said, please come and heal my daughter. She is dying. Jairus is leading Jesus through the crowd to the house before the daughter dies. All of a sudden, Jesus stops because somebody has touched his clothes. There's hundreds of people. A mob is following Jesus. And Jesus says, no. Somebody with faith has touched my clothes. Somebody with faith has grabbed at my clothes to get healed. And they have been healed. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Here's what happened. There's a law. She is not allowed to be out of her home in crowds, hanging out with people when she's having this problem going on. She is considered unclean. It is against the law. It is forbidden. For 12 years, this woman was forbidden to be in the crowds. This woman was forbidden to be out in public. She had spent all of her money, given it all to the doctors, all that she had to try to get healed, and she only grew worse. So all of a sudden, in verse number 34, she's been healed, and Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Everybody circle the word faith. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That's amazing. He stopped in the middle of an emergency and went and told the woman who was forbidden to even be in public and probably forgotten. I mean, she hasn't been around for 12 years. Who remembers her? Yet here's Jairus, a ruler in the synagogue, someone who's seen every day, all the time, important, has an emergency for a daughter, a child. And here's a grown woman who is crawling on her knees below the crowd, not wanting to be seen, not wanting to bother Jesus, not wanting to make a scene. She knows he's busy. And she knows, and she has faith that, hey, if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. Where is your faith at? Do you have faith when you pray? Do you believe when you pray? Do you believe that when you ask God, it's going to get done? Because that was her kind of faith. She didn't need somebody to confirm it, although Jesus did. But she had that kind of faith, and her faith is what made her well. Faith is so important with your walk with God. But let's read on, because it doesn't stop there. You still have Jairus, who's probably sobbing and crying and going crazy at this point, saying, I can't believe Jesus would just stop this. What kind of person would do that? What kind of man would just stop in the middle where my daughter's dying? In fact, the next verse gets even worse. It says, while he was still speaking, some came to the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So here are this guy's friends. Jairus' friends told him, listen, just leave Jesus alone. He has the power to heal people, but he doesn't have the power to raise people from the dead. That's basically what they're saying. Just leave him alone. It's time to move on. Let's go bury your daughter. Let's go ahead and mourn. Let's go start the funeral arrangements. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. That's really interesting. As soon as the negative people came in, as soon as they said, just stop following Jesus. Don't drag him over to your house. Let it alone. She's dead. Hope is over. She's gone. Jesus stopped it and said, uh-uh. No. He said, do not be afraid. Only believe. So then he goes on. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw, he saw it crazy. He saw mourning. He saw people crying. He saw people, those who were weeping loudly and wailing loudly. In fact, back in the days, which I think is really weird, they would hire professional mourners. I don't know where you'd find that in the Yellow Pages. I don't know where you'd Google that. But it would be like, just come on over to my house and cry for me, would you? Okay, and that's what they were doing. They were making a scene. They were crying. They were being loud. And so hear all these people mourning. And when he came into them, he said, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. And he entered in where the child was lying. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome by great amazement. I'm going to give you quick points on what just happened here. But a lot has happened here, and if you get this inside of you, when chaos comes, when crisis comes at your life, and one day it might just be knocking on your door, it might be happening right now. I don't know where you're at. I don't know everybody's life. I know some people are dealing with divorce. I know some people are dealing with depression. I know some people are feeling anxiety. I know some people are feeling overwhelmed with school already. What are we on? Day 3? Okay, I mean, there's chaos everywhere. And I don't know your situation, but I do know this, is that this story talks about a woman who was forgotten and forbidden. And everybody left her. She could not go out into the crowds. Yet she went out there anyways. And Jesus recognized her. And Jesus healed her. And then I see a famous person almost who's a ruler of the synagogue. When crisis and hopelessness happened to him, Jesus was also there for him. So wherever you're at, don't think that you're too far away from God. Oh, Pastor Michelle, I just started coming to church. I don't know the word of God. You tell me to turn to these books of the Bible, and I don't know. What is Psalms, Pastor Michelle? Okay, I mean, it's okay. You're going to learn it. But right now, hang in for the ride. Get into the word and hang on. But get this inside of your soul. So things to remember when you're faithing it. When you're in that moment where you have to walk in faith. There's no other option. You're choosing to do this. You're going through with it. Number one is this. Is you need to make Jesus your answer. Make Jesus your answer. Bills need to be paid. Make Jesus your answer. He'll provide a job. Right? You're feeling tempted to do something? Make Jesus your answer. He'll kick you in the butt, provide a way for you to get out of that. Make Jesus your answer. See, she went to all the physicians. And I think what's really interesting in verse number 27, it says, but she heard. She heard about Jesus. Somebody cared enough to tell her, hey, I know you've been suffering for 12 years. I heard there's a healer. I heard that God has come. I heard that Jesus has healed people. He's had blind eyes open. He's had people who couldn't walk, they started walking. Someone cared enough to share with her, and because of that, that woman made Jesus her answer. Jesus is your answer for whatever your problem is. You say, Pastor Michelle, that's cheesy. It's not cheesy. It's truth. It's truth. It's not a cop-out either. Oh, Pastor Michelle, I'm just believing that God's just going to get me through this test. Glory, glory, Jesus. Okay, Jesus is going to provide time for you to study, all right, so that you can remember it for the test. Don't make Jesus a cop-out. But Jesus is the answer. Number two, persistence is rewarded. Persistence, constant, never giving up. She never gave up. She pushed through the crowds. She found a way to make Jesus her answer. Persistence is rewarded. It's not by our works that we get healed. It's by Jesus Christ. But it's us sticking in there. And that's believing God for something. Some of you have a call on your life that is so big that it freaks you out. And you say, God told me to be this. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's an athlete. I don't know what it is. And it kind of freaks you out. Persistence is rewarded. Continually bringing that to God. Healing. If you need to believe somebody for healing, continually believing God, praying to God. I remember one person said that they never wanted to stop praying for something, for an issue, for whatever, because what if that one prayer was the one that was going to get answered? What if that one time that he was going to bring it before God, faith happened and it moved and it went going. You see, you can't stop. Persistence will reward it. God does not overlook your tears. God does not overlook your prayers. God does not overlook the time that you sit in your Bible. You know, there was a time where I was depressed. I was probably about 18 years old. completely depressed. Went to church. I was an intern here at the church. I couldn't sleep at night. In fact, if I went to a doctor, they probably put me on Prozac, all right? But I never went to one, so. But, I mean, all I did was read this word. That's all I did when I couldn't sleep at night. And you know what? One day, I realized, hey, I'm not depressed anymore. I don't have those feelings anymore. I can sleep at night. You see, you guys, this works. It works, but you have to be persistent. It's not about just trying God. Oh, I'm just going to try God. No, you've got to do it. You've got to be persistent about it. You've got to continue to go to service and service and service. Okay, number three. Do not be swayed by the circumstance. Do not be swayed by the circumstance. Jesus, when that man said, your child is dead, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Only believe. Sometimes when you are believing God for something, things go from bad to worse. I don't know if anybody's experienced that, but you're like, is Jesus, are you up there? Knock, 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 hello. Okay, I mean, it's like been, it was already bad, and now all of a sudden it's worse. Don't let circumstances change your faith. Jesus told him, do not be afraid, only believe. Don't let that happen. See, circumstances will change, but God never changes. Number four, you need to be around faith-filled people. Jesus kicked everybody out except for the mom, the dad, and the three disciples that he took with him. Pretty interesting, isn't that? Kicked all the professional mourners out who were just crying. You know, they got paid and whatever, but Jesus kicked them out. Why did he do that? Because he wanted people with faith. He wanted somebody who was going to believe for that child to rise again, and those were his three disciples and mom and dad. Of course, mom and dad would believe that. You need to surround yourself with faith-filled people. Are you going backwards with God? Well, who are you hanging out with? Who are you hanging out with? What are you letting sway your opinions? Surround yourself with people who are strong with God. You know, I hide people on Facebook. You know you guys can do that, right? I hide them because they're so negative. They post dumb things. There's lots of people who used to be with God and now they're not, and I can't listen to their drama. I got a life to live, okay? I mean, and I hide their stuff because I surround myself with faith. Now, I'm not putting myself in a bubble. That's stupid, okay? But I'm not going to let their drama affect my life and cause me to doubt God, right? Same thing with you. What are you letting creep into your heart? What are you letting sink into your spirit? You have to surround yourself with faith-filled people. The world right now, it tries to make Christians look dumb, look like idiots, look like we're meanies, okay? I mean, it tries to make us look like we're heartless, like I mean, all this kinds of stuff, and I cannot have their opinions of me transform my heart. I know what God says about me. I know what I believe. I know how I treat people. I know where my faith is at and where my heart is at. And maybe some of you need to do some deleting of people on your phone. Maybe you need to hide some people on Facebook. Maybe you need to get some new friends. I don't know what it is, but surround yourself with faith-filled people. And number five, the last one, is do not be discouraged by others. Do not be discouraged by others. When that man told him about his daughter, Jesus said specifically, do not be afraid. And other people may try to discourage you. Other people may try to tell you, oh, what is church? What does it matter? Who cares? You know the truth, and don't let it discourage you with your walk with God. So if you guys got something out of that, then give the Lord a great big hand clap.